Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the March NJEDA board meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it's their turn to speak. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comments. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed in a queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star zero. I will now turn the conference call over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd now like to call the meeting to order. Evan, if you're reading the open public meeting notice, please.
Repent. So, in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star-Ledger, the Bergen Record, and the Trentonian at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State.
Thank you. Danielle, could you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman Terrence O'Toole.
Present.
Bill Elagia.
Present.
Josh Weinrich.
Present.
Nisha Glover. Jim Hillman.
Present.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Fred Dumont.
Here.
Aaron Cruz from the Executive Branch.
Here.
State Treasurer Aaron Binder.
Here.
Acting Commissioner Kevin Jarvis.
Here.
Department of Labor. Mark Jorfi, representing Acting Commissioner Susan Ox from the Department of Banking and Insurance.
Sure.
Elizabeth Dragon for Acting Commissioner Ed Potosnak from the Department of Environmental Protection.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Great, thank you. I'm going to make some brief chairman's remarks. First, good morning and welcome to the NJEDA's March board meeting. I first want to welcome our new board members. It's great to see so many people here in person. So Tim, Mark, Kevin, and Aaron on the phone, welcome. And we're really pleased to all be together in person. I know some of us were together virtually at our last board meeting. This week, Governor Sherrill unveiled her first budget proposal, which is centered on affordability. This is a fiscally responsible budget, and the NJEDA board looks forward to working alongside the governor to meet her goals, supporting New Jersey families, and continuing to bolster our small business community. Recent announcements under the authority's existing programs exemplify how the NJEDA is creating impactful economic opportunities for startup founders and municipalities across the state. Under the groundbreaking New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund, the NJEDA, along with our venture capital partners, closed on investments in five cutting-edge startups at the forefront of technological innovation. These companies are making advancements in fields such as biopharmaceuticals and financial technology, and through increased access to capital through programs such as the Evergreen Fund and a strong innovation ecosystem, we're ensuring that these discoveries are being made in the Garden State. As new and emerging industries grow, we are also making sure that towns and cities are prepared for the economic opportunities they bring. The New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission recently announced the designation of 15 new film-ready communities under the Film Ready New Jersey program, which educates local leaders on the basics of motion picture and television production. The studios being built in the state, including Netflix, 1888, and Lionsgate, will support the influx of productions in New Jersey. With the assistance of initiatives like Film Ready, municipalities will be prepared for the jobs, small business support, and economic growth created by this booming industry. On Sunday, we're excited to cheer on two made in New Jersey films, Marty Supreme and Song Sung Blue, which have been nominated for a combined 10 Oscar nominations. In total, both movies spent more than $40 million in the state during filming. As we create meaningful programs and products to support startups, small businesses, and integral industries, and as we refine our existing programs to more effectively support lasting economic growth, the NJEDA is well positioned to support the state's continued economic growth. And now I'm going to turn it over to Evan for his CEO's report.
Thank you, Chair. This is actually my first in-person board meeting. So it's very cool to actually be here with all of you, and I want to welcome all the new board members. I think, Commissioner, you were telling me that this is actually your second stint on the board. Is that right?
Okay. I used to sit for Commissioner Sokolow 20 years ago.
So full circle, full circle. I just want to talk about a theme today, which the theme is leverage. And as you heard the chair say, I had the opportunity, along with some others in the room, to attend Governor Sherrill's budget address. It's a tough one. I mean, the budget this year, as she pointed out, a lot of things are coming to an end, one-timers, COVID money, tough choices have to be made. We have an exciting part of the story, though, which is that we have to figure out how to grow the economy here, to bring in more revenue to New Jersey, to help, make sure that we can all collectively afford all the critical programs that the governor wants to support and that we've had such a role in over the years. When I think about leverage, think about finance later today, I'm going to, along with at least, Kathleen Coviello to Princeton for the AI Hub. AI is obviously the cutting edge industry right now internationally. The AI Hub, I would doubt, have come into existence, without the work of the authority. By us coming in, Princeton University, CoreWeave, Microsoft, other partners are all coming together to make sure New Jersey, is really at the center of this incredibly important industry. I think about leverage when I think about the World Cup as well. You'll be hearing about more of that today. Much different than AI, it's sports. But the goal of this event really in New Jersey, in keeping with what the governor wants to do, is to make sure it feels like something for New Jerseyans, that New Jersey businesses benefit, that New Jersey citizens benefit, and feel that this giant global event actually means something to us. And again, leverages this event for economic opportunity up and down the state to kind of every level of small business, community enterprises, et cetera. The other area I went to an event, a groundbreaking last week, southward of Newark, for a project that BRIC is leading. BRIC is a nonprofit organization. It's receiving an Aspire. To me, when I think of leverage in that context, I think about how many partners were involved. EDA is the critical partner in that deal through Aspire tax credits, but Victoria Foundation, one of the largest foundations in New Jersey, Dodge Foundation is in that deal. So is RWJ Barnabas Health, bringing in FQHC, which is operated by St. James Health. All of these things are coming together to serve the community because we invested, because we went in. And I just think of us in so many ways. We can be this very, very powerful first mover in such a variety of sectors. So it's been very powerful for me to see us in that kind of work, in such a diverse way of work, from, again, AI all the way to sports, to something like the BRIC Southward Wellness Center. So that's really why I find it such a privilege to be in this job, to have so many opportunities along with the whole team here, to know that we have a team that can get such a diverse array of things done. It's a huge privilege. So with that, I will turn it over to Chair for the minutes.
Thanks. Just one thing we should remind everybody, there's a dashboard for the new board members. Every board meeting we prepare this, which is just sort of a summary of all of our programs, brief history, what's happened year to date, and it's just a reminder, again, as Evan said, of the incredible breadth of what we do and the impact that we make in the state. So the next item is the approval of minutes. There's one set of minutes for approval today before you are the minutes from the February 25th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval. Just I want to remind people when they make a motion or second, please state your name, especially for those on the phone. But I hear a motion to approve the February 25th NJED board minutes.
Mr. Chairman, before you take the vote, I just want to acknowledge that board member Aisha Glover is on the call. Okay, thank
you. Elizabeth, we'll consider that a motion. Second?
Second, Elijah.
Thanks, Phil. We'll take that. All those in favor signify by saying aye, aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. We're now going to move to the public comment section of the meeting. First, I'm going to ask Daniel Esser to share the NJEDA public comment policy and process for this meeting.
Chairman, members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by Teams, and then by phone. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Each person will be acknowledged to speak in order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment period portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue to provide comment. I'll now share NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak. Related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time.
Thank you, Daniel. I would now like to acknowledge members of the public who wish to provide comment at this time. First, anyone in the room who would like to speak? Okay, seeing no one. Next, I'm going to call on members of the public on Teams with hands raised. Danielle, is there anyone on Teams?
Anybody on Teams who wants to provide comments, please use the raise hand feature. Not seeing anyone with raised hands.
No, okay. Operator, is there anyone on the phone who wishes to speak?
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question by pressing star then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may please press star then one at this time. One moment, please, for our first question. At this time, I'm showing no questions on the phone line.
Okay, I will now consider the public comment section of the meeting closed. We're going to go into the action items for today. As we do at each meeting, we give a brief summary of the committees that met between the board meetings. The NJEDA Policy Committee met on March 4th and considered several actions which will be presented today, including the reallocation of Main Street funding, hearing officers' recommendations regarding declinations under the New Jersey Innovation Fellows Program, and an approval pertaining to use of funds to support World Cup implementation and initiatives. For the record, I want to note that I will be recusing from the vote pertaining to the World Cup. I became a member of the host committee, board of directors for the World Cup, New York, New Jersey host committee, on January 1st, 2026. I am therefore recusing myself from the review, approval, or any involvement in related NJEDA actions, including this matter before the board today. I'm going to ask Aaron Cruz to lead the board through the next vote. For sake of appearance, I'm going to walk out and get a cup of coffee. I'm trusting that you will come get me when we're done. Otherwise, I'll wander the hall.
Yeah, but enjoy your coffee.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'd like to turn it over to CEO Evan Weiss to present on FIFA World Cup implementation and initiatives.
So what this specifically is we're seeking approval for the utilization of funding from the state supplemental appropriation from the end of last year, the beginning of this year, for the grant agreement for the New York, New Jersey 2026 FIFA World Cup host committee for 2026 FIFA World Cup implementation initiatives, and secondly, to delegate authority to the CEO to negotiate and execute an amendment to the grant agreement, the finalized guidelines outlining eligibility criteria and process for selection for specific events. So the idea, as we've already spoken about, is that this is meant to do basically to effectuate Governor Schimmel's proposal. Governor Schimmel's proposal around the reallocation of some of the funds to support the fan zone initiatives throughout the state. So this is part of the $20 million supplemental appropriation. There was a previous appropriation for $15 million that happened earlier in the year. We have a grant agreement already with the host committee, and that grant agreement will be amended to utilize this additional $20 million. We are seeking approval today to then, once we do that, to come to clearer terms relative to what specifically that $5 million grant program will look like to ensure that we're finding events that, again, meet these broader policy goals for the state, ensuring that small businesses can participate, community organizations can participate, and that we have strong geographic diversity, but at the same time that we're working with this very tight timeframe, experienced event producers and providers that know how to pull something off like this in such an abbreviated time period. Any other questions on this matter at this time from the board?
Staff will look for a motion to approve.
Fred Dumont motion.
Thanks for a second.
Dragon second.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, any recusals or abstentions other than Terry's, which is already on the record? Motion passes. Thank you. I'll go get Terry.
Is there any way to stop the, like, sound notification?
I didn't have time. Okay. Next, community development, Maggie Peters.
Staff is requesting the reallocation of $9.3 million from underutilized or closed products funded through the Main Street Recovery Finance Program to the Small Business Improvement Grant, as well as a 5% administrative fee to administer the process. The Small Business Improvement Grant launched in February of 2022, capitalized using the Economic Recovery Act Main Street Recovery Fund. The SBIG provides a reimbursement grant to eligible small businesses for 50% up to $50,000 for renovations, furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Next slide, please. Staff has identified funding allocated for the Small Business Liquor License Grant, the Main Street Lenders Grant, and the Main Street Micro Business Loans that we do not anticipate will be utilized. The Small Business Liquor License product has received 9 applications since its October launch and has no awards thus far. This product was capitalized with $10 million from the Main Street Recovery Finance Program. We project a maximum of $2 million could be spent. Therefore, staff is recommending reallocating 8 of the $10 million to the Small Business Improvement Grant. The Main Street Lenders Grant and the Main Street Micro Business Loan are both closed. Therefore, the $1.2 million combined balance of funding will remain unspent if it's not reallocated. Next slide, please. As of the end of January 2026, we've approved and funded over 3,000 SBIG applications, totaling over $83 million, and received nearly 7,000 applications requesting funding, totaling over $172 million. We continue to receive about 25 applications a week and fund approximately 15 applications, disbursing approximately $500,000 a week. Currently, we have $15.3 million in applications under review and 14.8 in funding remaining. That leaves SBIG with a negative balance of approximately $500,000. To recap, staff is requesting $9.3 million from underutilized or closed Main Street products. With this reallocation of funding, we project being able to keep the SBIG open through mid-May. Without additional funding, we would have to close the application immediately to ensure that we can fund all the applications that are in the queue. Happy to answer questions.
As we discussed in committee, this is a state funding.
Correct.
And it will be a, you know, it's, this is our funding unless we get more appropriations.
Correct. I would just add, Chair, that the governor recommended her budget to appropriate an additional $4 million to this broader program to Main Streets, which this sits inside of. However, we won't know that. It's actually going to be effectuated until July 1. This, I think, is still the prudent move. So hopefully we will get an additional $4 million at least, but we won't know that. And I just think given the backlog we have of applications of deserving applicants, it's, I think, a good idea to move. I also just want to thank both Maggie, Christina, Ty, this whole team. Those are really...
I'm missing a board meeting, but I'm happy to hear your voice and you're all right.
Excuse me, for folks who are on the phone, please mute yourself. Public comment has ended. If you're unable to mute, staff will mute you.
Anyway, but thank you and congratulations.
Any questions? Anyone in the room, questions or comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments for Maggie? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the suggestion to reallocate the funds?
Move it, Weinrich.
Thanks, Josh. Second?
Robert Shimko.
Thank you, Robert. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Next, Caitlin, on two recommendations under legal affairs.
So by way of background, these are two declinations from the New Jersey Innovation Fellows Program. The program was first approved by the board in November 2022, and it provides income replacement grants to first-time entrepreneurs with unique startup ideas. In December of 2024, the board created an artificial intelligence dedicated cohort within the program to support the development of AI-focused startups. At the November 12, 2025 board meeting, five applicants were approved for award under this AI-dedicated cohort. Six were declined because they did not score sufficiently high relative to other applications, and one was declined because the proposed AI solution solely supports or supplements business operations and does not lead to improved efficiency or novel product or service creation. Today, we have two discretionary appeals. One is based on scoring from the applicant AI Ignite Labs with a score of 23.5, and one is based on the proposed AI solution, Lily Parking. We did receive a third appeal based on scoring from Intention AI Labs, which the applicant withdrew prior to today's meeting. Next slide, please. The first appeal for today is from AI Ignite Labs. This applicant received an overall score of 23.5. As far as the scoring rubric goes for this program, there are three AI-dedicated categories: AI innovation and technological advancement, feasibility and implementation, and code of conduct. An applicant can score between 1 and 3 for each of these categories for a total score of up to 9. However, an applicant must receive a score of at least 2 in each category in order to be eligible for an award. This applicant received a score of 1 in each category. In their appeal, the applicant did not challenge the scores. Instead, it clarified and summarized information about their product, which is called Ouroboard. They were provided the score sheets, and after reviewing, they submitted an appeal supplement. The supplement also did not challenge the scores, but reiterated the information in the appeal. We also provided them a copy of my hearing officer report and gave them an opportunity to respond, but they did not do so. In sum, they did not make any substantive arguments or allege that the authority acted arbitrarily, capriciously, unreasonably, or against the weight of evidence. It was essentially a motion for reconsideration of their application. I did review the score sheets to ensure that there were no irregularities and found none. My recommendation is that this declination be upheld.
And just, we're going to vote on each of these separately, right? You informed them of this decision,
yes,
and you gave them a chance to respond, and they did not.
Correct.
And they did not appear today.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else, or should we take a vote?
I don't know.
Any questions or comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the hearing officer's recommendation?
Second motion.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Second?
Yes.
Thank you, Kevin. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the recommendation is approved. Next.
Our second appeal for today is from Lily Parking. This applicant was declined for a discretionary reason, which was that the proposed AI solution solely supports or supplements business operations and does not lead to improved efficiency or novel product or service creation. Because this applicant was declined for a discretionary reason, their application was not scored. In their application, Lily Parking states that the AI components of its products are smart parking optimization. By way of background, Lily Parking is a parking garage. The AI components are smart parking optimization, which will allow it to maximize available space, reduce the time that spots are left empty, and predict peak periods, and then dynamic pricing, which adjusts parking rates based on real-time demand trends, holidays, weather, which mirrors pricing models used in other industries and will result in 10 to 25% increased revenue. Something of note with this appeal is that they did discuss other AI-related components of the product in their appeal, but we cannot consider new information on appeal. So this decision was based on the information contained in their initial application, which is what program staff had access to. The AI-enabled features that Lily Parking describes, such as smart parking optimization and dynamic pricing, are widely available and used in the parking garage industry. In their application and appeal, they describe these features as improving pricing and convenience within their own business, but not within the industry overall. In the board memorandum approving this program, they distinguish between AI that is foundational to a novel product or service and AI that merely supports or supplements business operations, and this product appears to fall into the latter category. Their technology is not novel and only supports or supplements business operations, so my recommendation for this appeal as well is that these definitely should be upheld.
Anything you told them of this decision?
They received the hearing officer report. They had, I believe, a week to respond, and they did not, and they had the opportunity to speak here during public comment.
Any questions or comments? Anyone on the phone? Hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve the hearing officer's recommendation?
Helmut.
Thanks, Tim. Second?
Okay.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the recommendation is approved. I like our board members. Our new guy.
On it.
Doc, are you going to give an incentives committee report?
Sure. Thanks. Sorry I couldn't be there in person with all of you. I'll see you next time. The NJEDA Incentives Committee met on March 2nd to discuss buyer action coming to the board today for consideration, and staff will now present this as part of today's agenda.
Thanks, Josh. Deirdre on real estate tax credits.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The applicant OAHS Brunswick Village TC is reapplying for an Aspire award under the new Aspire 3.0 GRM rules for the purposes of the increased award cap for Trenton of up to 85% or $120 million, whichever is less. And this requested amount equates to $33,050,282. The applicant is proposing redeveloping an existing 110 mixed-use income building and ground located at 801-833 Brunswick Avenue, and that's in Trenton, as mentioned, and it is consisting of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom rental apartments with over 40% of the units at or below 60% of the area median incomes. The units are spread across 8 buildings, and they are 3-story high, and this was originally constructed in 1971. The applicant was previously approved for a $22.7 million Aspire award that was nearly 50% of the then 80% eligible award cap for GRMs at EDA's December 19, 2024, but for meeting. Subsequently, in September of 2025, the applicant withdrew and resubmitted in the same month with a new application, and the reasons for that was because of increased costs and other increased eligible financing and other factors due to market reanalysis. The ownership structure has not changed, and OAHS Brunswick TC LLC is fully owned by OAHS Brunswick TC MM LLC, which is in turn owned by OAHS Affordable Housing Solutions LLC and is also the lead development entity. Project site is currently owned by OAHS Brunswick Village LLC, an entity that's 48% owned by ORVAC Affordable Housing Solutions LLC, and 52% owned by JED Owners LLC, and that is an unrelated company. As evidenced by a purchase and sale agreement between OAHS Brunswick Village and the applicant, transfer of the applicant scheduled for a closing of April 16, 2026. 4% light techs are being utilized from NJHSA, and the prior light tech commitment remains in good standing. And as with all light tech deals or most light tech transactions, an investor member will join as 99.99% limited partner at financial closing, with OAHS Brunswick TCMM remaining as the 0.1% 0.01% general partner managing member. The Aspire program requires a minimum equity contribution in GRMs equal to 10% of total development costs, which equates to just under $6 million in this case. Then the applicant is exceeding this requirement by contributing $18,447,360 in equity. The co-applicant remains the same and is FFAH 6 NJ Res Services LLC, a wholly owned entity, and it is owned by Foundation for Affordable Housing 6 Inc., which is a 501c3. Excuse me, my mouth is very dry. Very dry. And it is doing business. No, thank you. And is doing business as Embrace and will act as a nonprofit receiving Aspire tax credits for financing the deal and will also serve as the service provider to the residents of the building. Regarding legal review and sister agency checks, a legal review, debarment, disqualification review was conducted and completed on the applicant, co-applicant, and lead development entity by the authority, and all entities were cleared. Next slide, please. Prior experience with the developer and EDA was an Aspire approval for OAHS Manahan Village LLC, a Morristown Housing Residential Urban Renewal Project, and it was approved on May 10th of 2023 for $24.6 million. For consideration of the information presented, board members are requested to approve up to $33,050,282 in Aspire tax credits for this application, and is also the amount requested by the applicant. The requested amount is approximately 70% of the current 85% statutory award cap, and as it notes on the screen, it's based on the eligible project cost of $49,561,756. And with that concludes my remarks, and I'm happy to take any questions.
We discussed this, I think, in committee. Manahan Village is completely correct.
No, Manahan Village, well, they're in the process.
They're still working on it?
Yes.
Okay. And our experience with them there, have they performed?
They have held up to their obligations as it relates to the Aspire tax credit.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Anyone in the board, questions or comments? On the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, can we hear a motion to approve the award as recommended?
Move it, Weinrich.
Thanks, Josh. Second. Thank you, Elizabeth. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you. Next on real estate, Charles Sarla, who is our chair, is not with us today. So I'm going to share the real estate committee report. The NJEDA real estate committee met on March 3rd to review and consider two items that are proceeding to the board for action today, including conveyance of land to the city of Trenton to facilitate access to the city-owned senior center and a contract amendment pertaining to the former Meyer Center site at Fort Monmouth. First up is conveyance of the Titus Avenue extension.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, so my presentation is in regards to the conveyance of the Titus Avenue extension to the city of Trenton, and this is in relation to the Maternal Infant Health Innovation Center. A little bit of background released by the former First Lady Tammy Murphy in January of 2021, the Nurture New Jersey strategic plan identified maternal and infant health as a critical statewide priority and recommended the establishment of a center in the state capital focused on innovation and research in maternal and infant health cross-sector partnerships. The authority was charged with a central role in advancing this initiative. Given Trenton's significant maternal and infant health disparities, the city was identified as the natural location for the Maternal and Infant Health Innovation Center. In furtherance of this initiative, the members approved the authority's acquisition of and control of certain parcels within the project area in December of 2024. Following site evaluation efforts conducted by the authority and its consultants, the Battle Monument site, comprised of parcels within blocks 3901, 3902, and 3903, was determined to be the most feasible location for the center. Construction of the Maternal and Infant Health Innovation Center has commenced with a July 22, 2025 groundbreaking ceremony. The steel superstructure is complete and concrete slabs will be starting shortly. Site work, including underground utilities and stormwater retention basins, are in progress. Go to the next page. As part of the site acquisition, the authority owns a 2,194 square foot parcel located within block 3901, identified as the Titus Avenue extension. The parcel is situated adjacent to a city-owned and operated senior center and lies behind the Maternal and Infant Health Innovation Center development site. The senior center parking lot has historically been accessed through the site area. However, ongoing construction of the center will eliminate vehicular access along this route. To address this condition, the authority proposes to subdivide block 3901 into three lots, including the Titus Avenue extension, which provides the only feasible motor vehicle access to the city-operated senior center parking lot. Accordingly, we propose to convey the Titus Avenue extension to the City of Trenton at no cost to ensure continued access to the senior center and to support municipal operations, which now brings me to my request today, which is the approval of the conveyance of the Titus Avenue extension to the City of Trenton at no cost, the execution of a quitclaim deed necessary to effectuate the conveyance. And the justification behind this is that it will restore permanent motor vehicle access to the city-owned and operated senior center. The Titus Avenue extension is not required for authority purposes or for the development of the Maternal and Infant Health Innovation Center. The conveyance also advances a clear public purpose and supports the broader Maternal and Infant Health Innovation Center project. And the authority's property disposition procedures do not apply to this disposition of property to state government or any agency or political subdivision thereof. We go to the next page. So in this map, the right-of-way extension at the bottom left would be the 2,100 square foot parcel called the Titus Avenue extension. It's a part of block 3901, and the senior center was previously accessed via Ringgold Street to the right, which is a paper street no longer available for public use. So the conveyance of this right-of-way extension enables permanent and restores vehicular access to the senior center parking lot. That is the end of my presentation. I'll take any questions now.
And do we currently own block 3901?
We do.
Okay.
Any questions or comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the conveyance as suggested?
Okay.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Thanks. Thank you very much. Next is Thomas Smith on the former Meyer Center site.
Good morning. Tom Smith, I'm an LSOP with the Real Estate Signing Construction Group here at EDA. I picked up this project, was ongoing. EDA was working with the Fort Monmouth Economic Revitalization Authority, PEMIRA, at the Fort Monmouth site and conducted demolition of the former Meyer Center building. During that building demolition, an underground storage tank was discovered, which had petroleum contamination. That was remediated, it triggered a groundwater sampling event, and they found low levels of chlorinated solvents, which had no relation to the underground storage tank. So there's been ongoing environmental work at that site. And at this point, the petroleum tank remediated and closed with a final remediation document. There's groundwater remediation required at the site for these chlorinated solvents. So the project purpose of the presentation today is to increase our environmental consultants contract, which is funded by Premiera, for an additional $150,000 for a T&M associates who's conducting the groundwater remediation. With an MOU between Premiera and EDA to increase the budget by another $150,000 to bring a total of $300,000. We're now estimating to get us to the end point. EDA's environmental involvement was originally to get to a groundwater classification exception area, which is where the investigation is complete and the groundwater is restricted from use. But the project's been expanded to get to the end point for groundwater, which will require some additional delineation because standards have changed, and also because the property's been sold to RWJ, and they're currently constructing a medical building and a car park on the site. So monitoring wells that we've been tracking for concentration trends have to be moved for these building constructions. So it kind of resets the investigation and monitoring a little bit. And that's why the project is expanded outward. So request for is for the additional $150,000. And then we're also looking for, in the worst case, project still don't get to the end point. There could be another $150,000. They're looking for a delegated authority if Premiera approves additional monies at some point down the road. It would be $150,000 for the CEO to approve in addition to the $300,000 that we should be set at today. Premiera's board is going to hear their $150,000 increase in this month. So that's also pending at this time.
But today we're being asked to approve another $150,000 and then potentially another $150,000 on top of that.
Delegated. They approve it in the future, correct. This is the very low levels of chlorinated solvents that we have to track. It's frustrating in an environmental case because some of the wells fluctuate, become compliant, and you need two events, and then it comes up again. So we're basically chasing very low concentrations. And then, like I said, it's been complicated by the ongoing construction and redevelopment of the site, requiring us to move wells out of the way and then relocate them. So that's really the basis for why the project's increased scope and cost.
Any questions in the room? Any questions, comments on the phone? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Thank you, Elizabeth. Second? Thank you, Robert. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
By RWJ involvement.
Okay, noted one recusal. We vote? I can't remember. Did we vote? Okay, so we're done. That's approved. Thank you, Donna.
Thanks.
Evan, board memoranda.
Sure. So we had three delegated authority memos in your PACs pertaining to economic transformation products, post-closing, credit underwriting, highlighting the work done behind the scenes by staff. So I just want to highlight three things. Under the Angel Investor Tax Credit Program, the authority approved 75 Angel Tax Credit Investor applications for a total of $3.8 million in Angel Investor Tax Credits, incentivizing $17.8 million in private equity investments in New Jersey emerging technology businesses. Then under the NJ Innovation Evergreen Fund, the authority approved two qualified venture firms and one qualified investment under the $1.5 million delegated authority threshold. And finally, under the New Jersey Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program, the authority approved three film tax credit applications under delegated authority for a total of $17.6
million. Great, thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to adjourn?
Chris?
Thank you. Second?
Weinrich.
Thanks, Josh.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for attending in person. Thanks.
See you all.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation in using Verizon Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect.